Hey, thanks for joining me. It is that time in which we pause for just a couple moments and we gather together and we invoke the great mercy of God. And this is a powerful, powerful time. I can't tell you how many souls right now are going to be interceding on your behalf, for your intentions, for your needs. I love the fact that we're praying for one another, and I just think I've been blessed because of this. I just see God. I know He's so delighted, so pleased. You know, this time of prayer that we have together, I see it in my own life many, many times. So if you have a special need, want, or intention, a couple ways to get in. You can always call. I know the phone lines fill up very quickly. The number is 888-914-9149, especially if you're in one of the new areas that have just discovered the show. Put that in the speed dial, 888-914-9149, or Maggie is on our Twitter page, and she will take your intentions there. You can go to @ Drew Mariani Show. Okay, @ Drew Mariani Show. That's the Twitter page for the show. And @ Drew Mariani is my Twitter page. You can always follow me there too. Love to stay in touch with you. And of course, Maggie, I think there's a way. I think you can go to the website too at Relevant, right? To our show page. I think they have Twitter access there. Am I wrong on that? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it should link over to Twitter.
I think it does. So some people say, I don't have Twitter. How do I do it? Well, you can probably go to the Drew Mariani page at Relevant Radio and you'll find Twitter somewhere there, and you'll link for it. You can put in your petition. Maggie will share it in the third deck. And hey, a couple quick things here. I want to share a couple answered prayers. I want to go ahead and share some intentions. I was just last night, as I was watching, I guess, the Packers play last night, Thursday night football. I was checking through a bunch of different emails that came in, and this one just kills me. Susan, we're going to pray in a special way for this. This person's requesting prayers for a 15-year-old. 15-year-old Aiden has cancer. I can't imagine these teens being stricken with cancer. It seems so unfair. She says he's not responding well to chemo and just had his leg amputated. I mean, my heart breaks for this kid. 15 years old in the battle of his life with cancer. He's not responding to the torture of chemo and now had to have a leg taken. She goes, I've been praying the Chaba for complete healing. And here's how she signs it. She goes, I fully trust in Jesus. I fully trust in Jesus. God bless you. I mean, that is deep trust, and God can do anything. He can certainly heal. He can certainly restore, and I know He can bring good out of the situation. So, Susan, I'm going to join you today in that prayer. I know everyone else is, too. We're going to pray for 15-year-old Aiden. Another person said, hey, could you please pray for my son? He's suffering from anxiety and depression pertaining to a very difficult lack of job situation. He has a low personal image. And Drew, he told me he wants to hurt himself. He lives in the UK, so it's very hard for us here in the US. He needs God to open a door for him and for his mental health. Thank you. And I'll keep her name anonymous. I do want to pray for anyone today who is struggling with anxiety and with depression and with low self-esteem and with these suicidal ideations and who want to harm themselves in different ways. And Lord, I just ask that you go and you heal whatever the source of that woundedness is, whether it was a trauma in the youth or something else, a chemical imbalance, whatever it may be, or demonic, I just ask that you enter in today and in a special way give grace to those souls who are struggling with anxiety and depression. You hold back the hand of those who are thinking about taking their life. I know you hear this prayer. I know you know me, you hear me. And I know you are going to respond to this, so I am very grateful for that, and I lift that up. One quick prayer here that came in, too. This person says, hey, Drew, my answered prayer my prayer was answered for the healing of a spot that was visible on a mammogram that disappeared. I was called back to get my second mammogram and then ultrasound. When I walked into the physician's office, I saw my mammogram result on the screen. And clearly, you know, I saw the initial scan that the doctor was looking at. Yet when they took that second mammogram, they couldn't find it. I was taken to ultrasound, and the doctor says, we just can't find anything. So I said, praise Jesus. Elizabeth, thank you for sharing that. I love that. And these are great testimonies. I love the story yesterday, the woman who's, there was a child with no X chromosome. Next thing you know, they pray the chapel, the X chromosome shows up. Here we are with a scan that the doctor has with a very clear, visible spot. Next time they pray, they go back for that second scan, it disappears. With God, all things are possible. That's my mantra, right? I say it over and over again to you because I believe it. One final one for you here, and then let's pray. I'll take a couple of your calls. I want to share a miracle with you, Drew. A young mother experienced postpartum bleeding and had a hysterectomy. The bleeding wouldn't stop, and her organs were shutting down, and she even had to have health breathing. The doctor said she only had a 10% chance of surviving. So when I received the text requesting prayer for her, I fell on my knees and I prayed the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. She went in, had a successful surgery with the best possible outcome. She's now off lung bypass machines. She woke up. They asked her what her name was. She gave them her name. Her cognitive and physical functioning are improving daily. So would you please pray for her complete healing? And God bless you for this beautiful ministry promoting the chaplet. It was because of your constant and faith-filled reminders about its efficacy that I prayed it for this young mother. Lisa, thank you. And I know your prayers had a profound impact on her. So let's pray now for you. If you are on hold, I'm going to do my best to get you on the air. If you don't get through, you always have Twitter. And as those answered prayers come in, and I've gotten a lot of them, I'm grateful for it. Please send me your answered prayers, okay? I mean, when you get those test results back, when somebody is healed, when the finances are blessed, when the new job opens, when the son and daughter, you know, say, hey, you know, we want to, you know, we want to come back to the church, whatever it might be, right? Let's just email me, drew@relevantradio.com, drew@relevantradio.com, and on the memo field, put answered prayer or praise report or whatever you want. Just flag my attention on it so I can see it. I love them. And it's really evidence of how powerful this prayer is and how God is so moved by our united prayer. Maggie's praying with me today. And Maggie and I will begin now. And of course, we're so grateful to have you with us. Together we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Nancy, praying in Sandwich, Illinois. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Drew. I don't know if you remember me. I was on the trip with you to the Holy Land. And you asked me to call in and tell about my story for my granddaughter.
So, Sandy, you're the woman who, when I was praying the chaplet, or Nancy, when you and I were, I think we were even in the amphitheater there one time, we were praying the chaplet.
Yes.
With all those that were traveling with us. Very powerful moment. And for some reason, mm-hmm. I skipped over you. I missed you. So my apologies to you publicly across a national platform here for not getting you in, but maybe it was God's providence. Maybe it was providential. Somebody needs to hear your story today. So I'm so grateful you called in to share this. Yeah, share your story with everyone. I know they'll be very, very moved.
Well, she had COVID back in 2020. She went into the hospital the week of Christmas, and by Christmas Day, they put her on a ventilator. Shipped her down to Northwestern, and I called in on January 6th because that day she wasn't doing well. So I just asked for prayers for healing, not realizing that later that night they would take her into surgery, remove her colon, and she would only have a 1% chance of survival. And I firmly believe she survived all of that because of this Divine Mercy chaplet. And I saw her the other day, and she says, she has a lot of doctors now, but she said all of her doctors are calling her a medical miracle. And it just gives me chills to know that it was because of the Divine Mercy chaplet.
Well, God bless you.
So there's the story in brief.
Well, I love it. My producer, Maggie, just said in my ear, I don't know whether it went over the air or not, amazing. She said, absolutely amazing. I'm so grateful for your call, and I'm so grateful you shared it. You know, God's so merciful. I just absolutely love that. I absolutely love it. And, you know, the Lord said to St. Faustina, he said to her that anyone who spreads devotion to my mercy, he'll protect like a mother her tender infant, and that you'll shine with a special brilliance. So, Nancy, thank you for sharing that with everyone, for spreading the message of divine mercy with your family as well. Is there anything you want to pray for as we stay this first decade together?
Well, I do have a prayer request for myself, actually. Okay. This coming Wednesday, the 23rd, I'll be having a biopsy on my thyroid. So I just ask for prayers that it will all come back negative and not an issue. So that's my prayer request for myself and for my family to come back to the faith.
And I'll tell my wife, Kathy, Nancy, we'll pray for that intention in particular. Okay? So count on my personal prayers. My mother had a little bout with thyroid, too, and remember as a little boy, I prayed so hard for her, and she would live to be 83 years of age. So we'll pray for you for many more years of life so you can enjoy your granddaughter. And I want to pray for my buddy Quinn, who is also awaiting some test results back. And, Lord, I just give you his situation as well. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jackie in Austin, Texas. Thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi Drew. I'm here to claim the promises of our Lord for the
Amen.
Beautiful people in my life. I have a beautiful friend, Bonnie. She's such a dear Catholic friend of mine who spoke the words of life in my ears when I was planning on aborting my child. And her sister has pretty serious cancer. The prognosis is not good. Her name's Linda. And I am asking everyone to pray for complete, total healing for her and for my daughter, who was born 32 years ago, thanks be to God, because of my friend. And we are on a road trip to Maryland for her third surgery to remove nerves. She has a connective tissue disorder that she's had all of her life, and she suffered so much, so much. And we want this connective tissue disorder to be healed completely before this next surgery next week, and that she can move on with all the plans God has in her life. Yes, he has such great plans for her, Drew. I know this, and that she will find the loving face of our Father amongst suffering, that she will come to know how much he loves her. And lastly, for the intentions of my sweet priest, Father Don, who has always prayed for us, and this morning he gave us a blessing of travel and anointing of the sick for my daughter. So, and he always does that, and he's such a beautiful part of our journey in life. Right. God just is so generous in what he gives to us, and we're looking for this generous healing.
Jackie, what's your daughter's name?
Michelle.
All right, well, let's lift her up right now, okay? And Let's lift you up. You're a beautiful witness. Probably I was just an absolutely wonderful mother. We'll pray for your friend's sister, for your priest, for all these intentions. And Lord, I pray for a miracle. I do right now that doctors say, hey, we don't know what happened. This connective tissue disorder is gone. No surgery needed. Lord, I thank you for that. I claim that miracle, and I just ask that your mercy reach this soul. You cover her in your precious blood, and you just allow this to be another great testimony to the power of your mercy, the promises of this prayer, and your great sacrifice. So, Lord, I give you all who are in really critical situations right now, facing surgeries and biopsies and cancer and debilitating diseases and just difficult times. I ask for your mercy on them as well as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to our third intention, let me go to Maggie, who is taking many of your intentions off of Twitter. And again, at Drew Mariani Show, to get your intentions to us, because you can follow me at Drew Mariani as well. But Maggie, what's coming in?
Drew, I want to lift up a personal intention for my sister-in-law, Molly, for a full and speedy recovery. She went through surgery last week. And also for her sister, Megan Biggs, out in Montana. She's still having some heart issues. I want to pray for her healing. Marie wrote to us and said, please include my son in your prayers. May God be merciful to him and free him from his legal battle and give him a future for my husband to be financially secured and for a happy retirement. Thank you, she says. Kathy's praying for the unemployed and the underemployed.
Amen.
Marilyn would like to lift up her sister Maggie, who had an emergency surgery in her upper GI for a blockage. She says, thank you, her big sister that loves her. Esperanza wrote to us and said, please pray for my daughter's pregnancy. She's having a lot of serious issues. And lastly, I thought we would finish with this one from Patricia, hopefully to give Esperanza some hope. Patricia says, offering Thanksgiving prayers for my son and daughter-in-law for finally being open to life. They're expecting a baby in May after several years of marriage and troubles. And she's praying that they might convert as well and that the baby would be raised Catholic.
I love it. All right, let's lift up every one of those important intentions, and we'll add to this deck at Arnell, who's listening to us in Vallejo, California. Hi, Arnell. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for accepting my call. I just want to pray a healing intention for Mari P. Peria. She has a 4-stage cancer.
Let's pray.
So I need a miracle.
Well, let's believe.
Thank you.
You got it. No, let's believe. I know these situations seem impossible. St. Augustine once said, he says, we have to pray with faith, right? Christ said the faith the size of a mustard seed. With that faith, you can move a mountain, right? And I believe that. Augustine said, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of faith is to see what you believe. And I've always loved that. So, Lord, I pray with faith. I don't know what your divine will is. I submit to it. But I believe that you are omnipotent, omniscient, and all-merciful. And we turn to you now and pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, let's go to Steubenville, Ohio next. Christina, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hello. I am praying today for my niece. Her name is Baby Grace, and she is scheduled to be born through C-section on Monday. And the doctors have said that she is most likely not going to survive because she won't be able to breathe. So we are praying for a miracle for her.
All right. Well, I'm glad you called. And I think, Maggie, of that call yesterday with his baby in utero. I think they had placenta problems. That got corrected. And then it was missing an X chromosome. And next thing you know, they scan again, and suddenly the child, whatever testing they did, showed that, hey, that was miraculous. So, Christina, let's pray also for your niece, all right, who's expected to be born, that you can be an aunt and a child, and you can have a special bond. And, Lord, I just trust this baby to your divine mercy. We submit everything to your will. But we pray in a big way, Lord, today for many miracles. Miracles that defy science, that defy medicine, that show your incredible love and your unfathomable mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Nina, Wisconsin. Ed, good afternoon.
Viva Krista Ray, Drew. I have two prayer intentions, and one is for, I have an ulcer on my right ankle, and that is a request for healing for that.
Okay.
And another one is a request prayer for all the deer hunters in Wisconsin that are going out deer hunting this season. I can pray for their safety.
Yeah. Hey, Ed, is this opening,
this is opening weekend, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. I lived in Wisconsin for a while. What an interesting weekend that is. Boy, everybody seems to go out on that weekend. So you're right, and you often hear stories of people inadvertently being shot or injured. So thank you for those prayers. Well, we'll pray for all those hunters. We will pray for your ankle problems, okay, and for your family and for all of your needs. And Lord, I give you, Ed, all the intentions he has in his heart. And I want to give to you Steve and Alicia, Mary and Teresa, and Tim and Christina, and Teresa and Sophie and Colleen, and Mary and TJ and everyone on hold here with me, all those other calls as well, all those who are now writing, and all your children, wherever they are right now, united with me in prayer. And I just thank you for the gift of this prayer. Lord, I give you my heart. You know those personal needs, intentions that I have, and I present them to you and those who've asked me to pray for them. But I just ask today on this day that in a particular way, you hear the cries and the intentions of those now lifting their hearts to you. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
Blessed Solanus Casey,
pray for us.
And St. Rose Duchesne,
pray for us.
Pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I see Hershey, Pennsylvania on the line. Tim's asking for prayers for his wife's addiction. Tim, call back on Monday or Tuesday. We'll be sure to get you on the air. And for everyone else that's still on hold, I couldn't get to. I want to lift you all up. I'm just so grateful to be able to pray with you. And I feel the Holy Spirit sometimes so powerfully as we pray. I just know the heart of God is moved in a particular way. So keep praying. Don't lose hope. Don't fear. Don't give in to anxiety. It won't do anything for you, but have even greater faith, even greater trust in the Lord. Know that some way you'll look back on this situation with perfect vision. You'll see how God was with you through it all. All right? Short pause, and then I will be right back. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
This is where God wins his children back. You know, confession is a place of victory. Confession is a place of victory. And I don't care whether this is a person's first time they've ever confessed this particular sin or their 12,000 and first times they've confessed this particular sin. Every time they go to confession, it is a win for Jesus. And as a priest, I get to sit there and I get to be a part of, I get to watch, I get to see God winning his children back every single day.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it is a, such an incredibly beautiful sacrament. It is the sacrament of mercy. And St. Faustina, the Lord spoke to her very clearly about this. You know, Faustina had great Eucharistic encounters, but she also did regarding confession. And, you know, there really are hidden powers when it comes to confession. I think seldom do we stop to really contemplate how powerful that sacrament is in ridding pride. And pride is really a great inhibitor to holiness. A great mystic once told me, you know, when I was asking, you know, I pray, I fast, I want to do these things. She said, Drew, humility is the crystal bridge that will lead you to heaven. That's what she said. Humility is the crystal bridge that will lead you to heaven. And confession purges you of that evil, purges you of, it gives you the grace to rise above pride and all the other vices, all the other traps, all the other sins you might have. There was an exorcist in Rome who once wrote that confession is a powerful, powerful tool against the enemy. One sacramental confession, I think he said, is worth more than 10,000 exorcisms. So why? Because you purge darkness, right? You purge that demonic residue, you know? You open the way for healing. And it's through the radiance, the fire of Jesus, that your sins are burned away. The Lord purifies you. And confession prepares the way for the Eucharist, which, you know, really breaks those bonds of Satan. The Lord told St. Faustina this, he said, he says, when the confessor, you know, when you go to confession, sometimes, you know, I had a guest on yesterday who confessed her abortions. And when she was in this confessional, before she had done this, she had confessed it in a previous thing. A priest said, there's something else you're not telling me. And she revealed the fact that she had aborted two of her children. And he was given the knowledge to see the Blessed Mother holding these two children in his arms. And the Lord told St. Faustina, he says, you know, the confessor will sometimes say something that he had never intended to say without himself even realizing this, right? He won't even realize it. But it's the Holy Spirit at work. You know, and the Lord told her, he says, when you approach the confessional, know that it's me, that I myself am waiting there for you. I'm only hidden by the priest, but I act in your soul. And I think that's why that happens. I think that's sometimes why the priest says those words, because you're truly encountering Christ. You're truly meeting, you know, the second person of the Trinity. You're truly meeting our Lord, who threw open the gates of heaven for us and conquered death. The Lord called it a tribunal of mercy. When you approach a tribunal of mercy, is what he said. He says, if you were so corrupt, maybe you had 10 abortions, maybe you've abused somebody, maybe you've committed horrible crimes, maybe you've murdered, maybe you're engaging in the greatest of evils, whatever you can conjure. The Lord said, if your soul was like a decaying corpse, so that from a human standpoint, there's no hope of restoration and that everything already seems lost, it's never the case with God. The miracle of divine mercy restores that soul in full, that sacrament of reconciliation. So I just want to encourage you. Lord, put on my heart today to address this. And I don't know whether you've been away from confession for a long time. I've heard some people say, you know, I've gone to confession, but I was too embarrassed to confess certain sins. I want to encourage you to get back. You are meeting Jesus, only hidden by that confessor. And it is there that you'll find liberation. It is there that you will find freedom. It is there that your soul will be restored. It is there that the Lord is waiting for you. And I just encourage you to do it today. I'm joined this afternoon, and I'd love to hear your experiences. Have you been away from confession for a long time, and you don't want to go? Tell us why. I'd love to hear why you're staying away from that sacrament. Maybe you've been back to confession after 10, 20, 30, 40, I've heard even 50 years. I'd love to hear your encounter. What was it like to get in there and to confess? What was that encounter like with the Lord? I'm joined today by Father Pio Vitola. He's a very holy priest, a great confessor. He's a Norbertine from St. Michael's Abbey in Silverado, California. But he's now in residence at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And I always want to plug this shrine because I think it's one of the more beautiful shrines in our country. It's kind of hidden away. If you have not had a chance to travel out there, I would strongly recommend you take a personal pilgrimage out there. My wife and I were out there not too long ago, and we said, man, we got to get our friends to come out here with us. We'll spend the weekend. Really a beautiful place. You can find them online at GuadalupeShrine.org. Father, thanks for making time with us today. Good afternoon.
For having me, Drew. Thank you.
I'm delighted to
talk to you. Honored
to
be here, especially to talk about this. It's something very dear to my heart.
Yeah, and why is that?
Well, you started strong with all the clip you played at the head of this this show and what you've been talking about already. First, just the power of the sacrament, like you were saying, beautiful quotes from St. Faustina and, you know, images of Our Lady and what happens in this sacrament. As you were mentioning those things, I thought even of the power of the sacrament, what's happening. In one of Gabriel Amorth, the Exorcist of Rome, in one of his books, you know, he's explaining to a bishop who didn't want to deal with a specific case, and he wanted Gabriel Amorth to come deal with it. And Gabriel Amorth had to explain to him, he said, you realize as the bishop, you're the exorcist of your territory, your diocese. And he said, he sensed that the bishop was afraid because he didn't deal with those kind of things. He said, look, you're afraid to do an exorcism. The devil is angered more, is more afraid of you taking souls back for God in confession and in mass each day, because the devil can't touch souls in things like possession, things that are rare anyway. But in confession, we take back souls, we put them back in the grace and life of God. So the power of the sacrament there, just to realize what it is that I get to do as a priest. Yeah. And the clip you played at the very beginning, which I feel the same exact way, for me, it's the best time to be a priest in the world, and especially because of this sacrament. For me, every confession I hear is the most edifying thing. Wow. Each day, because I didn't do anything to bring that person into that confessional. I get to be there and witness as the instrument, God's mercy at work, them speaking to the Lord, and I get to witness that, and my faith grows every single confession. Imagine that. So the beauty of what I get to experience administering the sacrament as the Lord, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of objections. You know, people say, for example, like, I don't go to confession because I'm always saying the same thing, or I'm embarrassed to go.
Yeah,
this is a really important point. Something I came away from. We all have a proclivity to fall to sin. Maybe you gossip. Maybe you eat too much. Maybe you drank too much. Whatever your sin is, right? But there's a special grace you receive in that sacrament that helps you to rise above habitual sin. How do you address this issue? Because this is a real roadblock. I think Satan uses it very cleverly. I'm not going to go back. I keep doing the same thing. I just went to confession.
Yeah,
there I am doing it again.
You hit it. This is probably the biggest thing that comes up, you know, of all the reasons that people, and interestingly, it comes up when people come to confession, right? So thankfully, I know of it because people actually come to confession, but they're discouraged, right? They say, you know, and somebody might say, oh, unfortunately, I'm back here, you know, Father, or I'm here. And as gently as I can, you know, especially when I'm preaching or catechizing about this outside, that's not the right, you know, not unfortunately. Thanks be to God you're back here, because we're all sinners. Every single one of us, myself included, we're going to keep failing and falling. We need God's grace. It's not unfortunate that you come back to confession. It's a grace. Thanks be to God. And I tell you, thanks be to God you had the courage to come back, because yes, we're going to keep doing the same things. We are sheep. We are stupid creatures that keep doing the same things. And God knows that, right? He's not surprised. He's not discouraged. He's not disappointed. He knows all that. And he gives us the grace to come back so that we can, as you said, receive the healing graces to overcome vices or get out of things like that. So I try and gently, you know, to tell people, look, you know, and it comes up often, the kind of the joke, and yet it's not a joke. It's like, well, you know, I'm glad that you haven't tried new sins, right? We don't want to try new sins, of course. Right. But okay, well, but we're sinners and we're going to sin. What do you think you're going to do? You know, and we can put up men and women. They have their own kind of the fallen nature and things they go to. Men, you know, generally it's going to be physical pleasure of some kind, you know, usually temptations of lust, things like that with women. And it goes both ways, of course. Right. Men and women struggle with everything, but men generally that, and so they get discouraged. And women, it can be usually sins of gluttony or vanity, things like that. So just knowing that, you know, just being well educated about what are the habitual things that we're going to tend to as men and women, as Christians, and not to be discouraged. You're going to, it's a struggle. And that's the other part of that, is people feel, well, unfortunately I'm back, or I keep doing the same things. Well, yes. And when people say I've been struggling with, I say, well, that's good. Struggle is good. Struggle means we're fighting back. You know, it's failing and we need to get back up, and God does that for us. And so, yeah. Yes, you're going to keep struggling with the same thing. That's life. That's human nature. So be encouraged. Know that God is not discouraged. Priests that are well-formed are not going, nothing's going to surprise us. Nothing's going to discourage us. We expect to hear the same things, and nothing is, you know, nothing is surprising in that sense.
And my guest today, Father Pio Votola. Father, stay with me. When we come back, we'll talk more. I only have a 10, maybe 15 minutes for them. If you want to get in, I'll take your calls on the other side. Maybe you had a bad experience. Maybe you're afraid for some other reason. Maybe you found such a profound encounter with the Lord and it changed your life and you just want to give him glory. The number's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father, on a very personal and selfish reason, I want to find out about your first name, Father Pio. You got to tell me about that when we come back, all right?
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Real faith, real talk. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It is good to be here with you this afternoon, and I will take a few of your calls at 888-914-9149. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking a little bit about confession. It's something I think that is often underutilized. You know, you see very long lines for communion, but very short lines for confession. And I think we do ourselves a disservice. If you want to grow in the spiritual life, if you want to rise above those things that lead you away from God and draw you closer to Him, there's nothing more powerful than the sacrament of reconciliation. And I'll tell you one thing, your enemy, Satan, hates this sacrament because it sets you free. It disengages those Barbary hooks of the evil one, those things that perhaps hold you down. You know, Padre Pio, the great stigmatic, who bore the wounds of Christ, you know, who had these incredible gifts to be able to bilocate and levitate and read souls and gifts of privacy, you know, prophecy and so many others. There are several encounters he had where Satan went beyond all limits of deception to Padre Pio pretending to be a penitent. And if I have time, I'll share some of those stories coming up because they're pretty powerful stories of this sacrament. And you know, what was revealed to Pio as a result of that. But I'm joined today by another Father Pio, by another Padre Pio. It's good to have Father Pio Votel. I saw your name, Father, and I'm thinking, where did that come from? Is that given to you?
I tell people to call me Padre Pio.
I love that.
No, it's my it's my religious name. It's a name that I was given at my abbey, St. Michael's Abbey in Orange County, Southern California. When we enter, we give a few names, up to three, to our abbot. And when we're vested in the religious habit, he's chosen one of those names. And then he tells you at the moment you're vested in our abbey, you will be known as blank. And he tells you the name that he has chosen. Doesn't even have to be one of the ones that you suggested. But luckily this was, and I'm very happy to have received it. Perché anche io sono italiano, which is one of the reasons why I asked for it. So,
wow.
So it's been a blessing.
Has Pio ever, reached out to you? Have you had encounters? I don't mean apparitions, but I mean, have you felt his spiritual presence in your life?
Yes, definitely that comes through confession. I mean, just my love for the sacrament.
Yeah.
Just wanting to administer the sacrament. I've had my own kind of personal encounters where he's given me graces. For example, when his mother died, he spent a couple days at her grave. I mean, he was really inconsolable and he just wept and wept. And when I was blessed enough to be at my own mother's side at her passing, it was very peaceful. It was almost matter of fact, which for an Italian son with his mother, I knew it was a grace from him. And it's just, you know, it's not like he didn't appear to me. I didn't have a smell of sanctity or no, but I knew this is from him. He's given me that grace. That's real. Yeah.
Yeah. What a gift. Well, we're talking with Padre Pio today and we'll take a few of your calls. Before I do that, I want to follow up on something. We were talking a little bit about some of the misconceptions regarding confession. And one of the things that has always struck me was, you know, a lot of people come out and they say, I don't want to go to confession. I can speak directly to God, right? Why do I need to go to a priest? You know, maybe that priest's more sinful than me. I mean, they come up with all these rationales. Why do you think the sacrament has such a bad rap? Why do you think the numbers are so low? And, how do you respond to some of those objections to going?
Yeah, the first one comes up. I think that's a bit of more of a smoke screen. The reason of, I'll speak with God directly. Maybe that's something we think of only, like a Protestant might say because they're not with the sacrament. But yeah. Catholics will say that too. But really, again, sometimes they'll mention it when they're going to confession. And yes, we need to speak to God and we need to ask God directly for forgiveness, of course, but God is the wise one here. God is the one that instituted this sacrament. so that we, because we need to be encouraged, we need to have a voice outside of our own head tell us, guess what, you did all these things wrong. God loves you, not disappointed, wants to help you. And we're encouraged and we're at peace. And God knew that. And that's why we go to counselors. That's why we talk to each other about our problems. We need outside help. And God knows that. And so, you know, that first reason, not great. A big reason, thanks be to God, you know, something like the COVID pandemic the past couple of years both made things like this harder, but also opened up opportunities in a certain way. A big reason this sacrament suffers, as you mentioned, the devil attacks the sacrament of marriage right now in the world. It's the most attacked thing, the family, society structure. And then the other is this sacrament is penance because he doesn't want people to be encouraged, right? And so just the fact that it's not offered, you know, I mean, maybe people know the kind of typical, unfortunately, it's offered, you know, 30 minutes on Saturday from 3:30 to 4, mm-hmm. you know, and then father comes late and then there's a few and then somebody takes long and he's got to go get ready for mass. Okay, so that's not helpful and people have their lives and we have to adapt to where it's being offered, where in the country, what city. Okay, so the fact that it's not offered at where I'm from at St. Michael's Abbey, again, in Southern California, we started offering it more when things were closing down a couple of years ago.
Wow.
And people would come from hours and hours away, and we kept those hours. We now offer it 3 hours a day, every day of the week, and there's always people. So if you offer it, they will come. And so you see this tends to deal more with the clergy, with more about it being offered. Yeah,
I agree. I don't want to throw stones at your fellow priest, it's a frustration for me. You know, I go to confession, right? And then some little old lady goes in there, right? She's there for 20 minutes. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, look at all these people behind me, or I'll never make confession. I've been here for 45 minutes. And then I got to confess my own impatience. You know, when I'm sitting in there, I'm finding myself so frustrated. But to your point, I think you're so right. I mean, the windows are so small, and in many places, you can't even get to confession. I think that's got to change. If we do that, I think marriages will change, holiness will change. I think people, you know, the reception of the Eucharist will be receiving it more worthily. How do you bring about that change? I think that's critical.
The reality is unfortunately going to be fairly shocking for most people. It's a pretty serious thing.
Yeah.
The reason it's not offered is because priests themselves tend not to make use of it. And that's the reality. That's the reality that priests who don't themselves make use of this sacrament often, and there's different reasons. I'm not saying priests don't go because they don't. Some, you know, unfortunately, there's the reality that priests maybe don't go to brother priests because they're maybe embarrassed themselves, and that, you know, all kinds of reasons. And yet there are priests that, they've maybe their job over the decades, maybe they weren't formed well. They've become more pastoral, more active in that sense. And they think, well, this thing is nice, but they're, you know, what are the results or whatever? And then themselves, they don't make use of it. And why would you offer something? Why would you invest yourself in something that you don't use? It's a very sad reality. It's one of the big reasons we need to pray for clergy so that they make use of the font of mercy, because those that have been forgiven much love much, and God wants to love people through this sacrament.
Well, maybe this is a clarion call to your brother priests out there. Maybe we'll have a few extra minutes or hours of confession. That would be wonderful. What a blessing to your congregation as well. And you're right. You look at St. John Vianney, you take a look at Padre Pio, you look at some of these great saints. They spend hours in the confessional, and you see the conversion within their parish. You see the numbers increase, the holiness of their flock increase as well. You know, let me ask you another kind of raw question, a rough question. I knew a girl who actually had an abortion, and she went into this confession, and she said, I talked her into going to confession. I mean, I'd met her years later, right? And she said, I had an abortion, and I had, she left the church, and I said, well, what happened? She said, I went into this confessional, and this priest was so mean. At least that was her interpretation. I don't know whether it was a case or not, but she said the priest was so curt, and the things he said to her, she didn't feel the love and the mercy she wanted. It drove her away from church. She was away for years. And my wife and I came to know her, and then through our experience and our conversation with her, we were able to get her back to confession for a more beautiful experience. I just want to, anyone who's had a bad experience in confession, to know that that's not a normal thing. That's an anomaly.
Right.
But maybe you can speak to that. For those who are listening, say, I'll never go there. I had a horrible experience when I went in there.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate. And like I said, there's all the mixed reasons, especially over the past decades, of why things like that happen. Poor formation of priests and them not using because of their poor formation. That's a big reason of it, you know. So that, right, just these ugly situations. That's very hurtful to me as a priest as well to hear that, you know, because you want to reach out and love those people, and the one place that they're supposed to be the most encouraged and loved. So that's difficult. Yeah, really, it's we have to pray as Catholics ourselves, just for people to, you know, to want to go back to confession, you know. So those situations are ugly, and thanks be to God. And most of the time, right, it's, as you said, it's like you and your wife met whoever this woman was. It's, right, it's what Pope John Paul II spoke about. It's the, you know, the call of the lady to go out. I don't meet most of these people, especially because I'm from a monastery, I'm at a shrine.
Yep.
And so many of us are going to encounter people, and just through your actions, your conversations, your friend, you can then witness to them and say, go back, you know, let's find a different place.
Padre Pio, thank you for being with us. We'll have you back.
You're
welcome. I really enjoyed our conversation. May God bless you.